This is deep dive number 3 of November 2022. Park and colleagues, causal effects of serum levels of omega-3 or omega-6 polyunsaturated fatty acids on coronary artery disease. Mendelian randomization study published in Nutrients in 2021. What we know, think we know, or are starting to know. If we anthropomorphized polyunsaturated fats, you would definitely feel like they are being bullied. And being the good person that you are, you'd want to stop the bullying and set the world to rights. Except in the seemingly conflicting world of science and evidence, we don't have bullies, but we do have bad research. And as Richard Feynman said, the easiest person to fool is ourselves. For omega-6 polyunsaturated fats, there is an entire community in nutrition who have fooled themselves into thinking that these fats are harmful, when the evidence from prospective cohort studies, tissue biomarker studies, randomized controlled trials, and controlled feeding studies all demonstrate benefits to these fats for cardiovascular health. For omega-3 polyunsaturated fats, the irony is that these are the subtypes of polyunsaturated fats where almost everyone in the popular nutrition conversation is convinced of a range of benefits, yet the evidence requires much more dissection to come to any conclusion, and that conclusion could be debated. The inconsistencies in the evidence likely relates to the fact that both EPA and DHA have distinct mechanisms in cardiovascular health, and the form of supplement, ratio of EPA to DHA, and total dose are all moderating factors influencing the outcomes in RCTs to date. The challenge of teasing out cause-effect relationships in science, particularly in nutrition science, has led to an explosion in the popularity of genetic studies known as Mendelian randomization, or MR, as a research design. The present study conducted a Mendelian randomization analysis of the effects of omega-6 and omega-3 on coronary artery disease, or CAD. The study was conducted as a two-sample MR, which is a type of MR analysis where the exposure is measured in one genetic sample and the outcome is measured from another genetic sample. Thus, the present two-sample setup in this study was, for the exposure, a European ancestry genetic study known as a genome-wide association study, or GWAS, on serum levels of omega-3 and omega-6. The outcome was from UK Biobank data using individual-level data with a total of 337,129 individual participants, and the Cardiogram Plus database using summary-level data for a total number of participants of 184,305. Individual-level data is where information on genetic variants and outcomes are available for each participant in the study, and the ultimate results reflect the average across all individuals. Summary-level data is where the estimated effect of a genetic variant on an outcome has already been summarized from previous genetic analysis. The present study thus conducted two separate two-sample MR analyses, an individual-level analysis using GWAS omega-3 and omega-6 data and UK Biobank data on risk of myocardial infarction, or MI, and a summary-level analysis, again using the GWAS data on omega-3 and omega-6 levels and the Cardiogram Plus data on risk of MI and CAD. The exposure was genetic variants associated with higher levels of omega-3 and omega-6 in the serum, which is the fluid portion of blood remaining after blood has clotted. Geekbox. Mendelian randomization research design. MR is a principle of using genetics to mimic a long-term randomized control trial, particularly where a long-term intervention study may be unethical or practically infeasible. Because an individual's genes are assigned when they are conceived, this is in effect the purest form of randomization, i.e., the genetic lottery from mum and dad. Well-conducted MR can provide an unconfounded estimate of the relationship between an exposure and an outcome. It is unconfounded because the genetic variant results in a certain physiological response that is independent of other considerations. Thus, to be properly conducted, An MR study must satisfy three criteria. One, the genetic variant must be associated with the specific mediating exposure, for example, LDL cholesterol. Two, the genetic variant must not be associated with any potential confounders that could influence the outcome. And three, the genetic variant must only influence the disease outcome through the specific exposure pathway, for example, LDL cholesterol again, and not through any other mechanisms. An instrument variable, or the genetic variant that is used as a proxy for the exposure, is only valid where those three assumptions hold. This is crucial because it means that claims of causality can only be made where these assumptions are met. Where there may be factors that undermine these assumptions, then an MR study should be considered genetic associations, not necessarily a cause-effect relationship. When long-term randomized studies are not possible, Mendelian randomization is a powerful tool to examine potential cause-effect relationships. But we should temper our enthusiasm for thinking anything genetic solves all methodological challenges in our field, as MR of nutritional exposures faces several methodological challenges itself that need to be considered. Results. For the individual level data, the characteristics of the UK Biobank cohort included in this study included an average age of 58 years, 46% of whom were female, and 24% of whom had obesity. Of the 337,129 participants included in the analysis, an MI occurred in 4%, or 12,812 participants. The results are presented as odds ratios, OR, with lower and upper 95% confidence intervals, or 95% CI. The analysis included the omega-3 eicosapentaenoic acid, or EPA, docosapentaenoic acid, or DPA, an intermediate between EPA and DHA, and docosahexaenoic acid, DHA, and the omega-6 linoleic acid, or LA, gamma-linolenic acid, or GLA, dihomogamma-linolenic acid, DGLA, and arachidonic acid, or AA. Biobank outcomes for myocardial infarction, or MI. For omega-3, higher serum EPA was associated with 4% lower odds for a myocardial infarction, and a range of 6% to 2% lower risk. For DPA, higher serum DPA was associated with a 2% higher odds for myocardial infarction and a range of exactly 1, or the null, to 5%. For DHA, higher serum DHA was not associated with myocardial infarction. The odds ratio was exactly 1.00 and the range was from 0.98 to 1.02. For omega-6, linoleic acid, or LA, was associated with a 4% lower odds of a heart attack, myocardial infarction, and a range of 6% to 2% lower risk. For GLA, higher levels were associated with a 2% higher odds for a myocardial infarction, and a range of 1.0, or the null, to 4% higher odds. For DGLA, higher serum levels were associated with a 4% lower odds for a myocardial infarction and a range of 5% to 2% lower risk. For arachidonic acid, or AA, higher levels were associated with a 3% higher odds for myocardial infarction and a range of 1% to 5% higher odds. In the cardiogram plus summary level data analysis, which included coronary artery disease, or CAD, in addition to myocardial infarction, higher serum levels of EPA were associated with 22% lower odds for coronary artery disease and 21% lower odds for myocardial infarction. And the range for coronary artery disease in terms of the confidence intervals was from 38% to 3% lower risk, while the range for myocardial infarction was from 47% lower risk up to a 17% higher risk in terms of the spread of the confidence intervals. For DPA, higher serum DPA was associated with a 21% higher odds for coronary artery disease, and a range of 3% lower to 52% higher risk, and a 22% higher odds for myocardial infarction, and a range of 5% lower to 57% higher risk. For DHA, again, higher serum DHA levels were not associated with coronary artery disease, which was an odds ratio of 1.0 exactly, or myocardial infarction, which was an odds ratio of 1.05, but a range of 0.88 or 12% lower risk to 1.62 or 20% higher risk, 26% higher risk. For omega-6, linoleic acid, higher levels were associated with a 3% lower odds for coronary artery disease and a range of 5% lower to 1.0 and 3% lower odds for myocardial infarction and a range of 5% lower to 1% lower risk. Higher DGLA levels were associated with a 6% lower odds for coronary artery disease and a range of 11% to 2% lower and 7% lower odds for myocardial infarction and a range of 12% lower to 2% lower. And finally, for arachidonic acid, higher serum levels were associated with a 1% higher odds for coronary artery disease and a range of 1.0 to 2% higher. And that was for both findings, coronary artery disease and myocardial infarction. The critical breakdown. Pros. Both analyses were based on enormous sample sizes in both genetic cohorts, which was larger in the UK Biobank cohort compared to the Cardiogram Plus cohort. The study thus had a high level of statistical power. By conducting two separate two-sample MRs, the study attempted to replicate the findings from the individual-level biobank analysis with the summary-level cardiogram plus analysis. The summary-level analysis included 43,676 cases of myocardial infarction and 60,801 cases of coronary artery disease. The individual level analysis included statistical adjustments for a range of relevant covariates, for example, LDL cholesterol levels, hypertension, smoking history, cholesterol medications. Cons. For the UK Biobank data, only 4% of the total cohort experienced a myocardial infarction, which may reduce some of the statistical power to detect associations, and the effect sizes derived from this analysis were minuscule. A potential limitation is the use of serum long-chain fatty acids as the exposure. More on this will be discussed under key characteristic below. The difference in the number of cases between the Biobank and Cardiogram Plus data may have influenced the different strengths of association shown in the respective analyses. The analysis used genetic data only from individuals of white European ancestry, and just the findings may not generalize to other ethnic ancestry population groups. Key characteristic. The fact that this analysis focused on serum levels of polyunsaturated fats is the critical design factor to be considered in interpreting the findings. This is because in an MR analysis, the genetic variants analyzed may only be associated with a specific isolated tissue compartment, for example, serum, which may not be the sole pathway through which a given nutrient may be associated with an outcome. It is important to note that what genetic predisposition to higher serum polyunsaturated fats or genetically higher serum polyunsaturated fats means from the perspective of Mendelian randomization studies. This is intended to mean that these higher levels serve as a proxy for dietary intake. Simply put, genetically higher serum polyunsaturated fats translates, in concept, to higher levels from diet or supplements. This becomes crucial to interpreting the findings because we know from biomarker studies where the actual levels of fatty acids are measured in different tissue compartments, for example, serum, red blood cells, adipose tissue, etc., that different tissue biomarkers correlate with different reflections of dietary intake. The most commonly used biomarkers when measuring the concentration of a nutrient in plasma, red blood cells, or adipose tissue are known as concentration biomarkers, as they are measuring the concentration of that particular nutrient in the circulation or tissue. Within serum, fatty acids may be present in triglycerides, phospholipids, or cholesterol esters. These each reflect different time courses of dietary intake. Triglycerides reflect recent hours and immediate days, while phospholipids and cholesterol esters reflect 2 to 4 days prior. Moreover, red blood cell fatty acids are more stable in response to recent dietary intake, while serum and plasma can be highly variable in response to recent meals. Thus, as serum polyunsaturated fats have been analyzed in the present study, as a proxy for diet, this would only reflect the most immediate intakes of polyunsaturated fats from diet. This could be too short-term and variable a tissue compartment to make causal claims of long-term dietary intake. The important implication for these findings is that the conclusions should be confined to the specific tissue compartment, not stated as the effect of PUFA more generally in relation to myocardial infarction or coronary artery disease. Interesting finding. The different directions of effect for the two omega-6 markers analyzed, linoleic acid, LA, associated with lower risk, and arachidonic acid, AA, associated with higher risk, more on AA specifically will be discussed under relevance below, may be further vindication of linoleic acid against the allegations that linoleic acid causes inflammation and increases risk for adverse health outcomes. When it comes to linoleic acid consumed in the diet, a long-standing allegation has been that linoleic acid provides a precursor to arachidonic acid, and arachidonic acid is used to form pro-inflammatory compounds in the body. This latter statement is correct. Arachidonic acid is used to form what are known as eicosanoids, which moderate inflammatory responses in the body, and the precise eicosanoids that arachidonic acid produces are pro-inflammatory, in contrast to the synthesis of anti-inflammatory eicosanoids by EPA. However, there is actually no experimental evidence for this relationship in humans. A review of 36 human intervention studies highlighted that neither increasing linoleic acid levels by up to 551% or decreasing linoleic acid levels by 90% altered concentrations of arachidonic acid in plasma, serum, or red blood cells. And a review of 15 human intervention trials investigating the effects of linoleic acid on inflammatory biomarkers concluded that, quote, virtually no data are available from randomized controlled intervention studies among healthy, non-infant human beings to show that the addition of linoleic acid to diets increases markers of inflammation, end quote. Relevance. The authors continually referred to the findings as, quote, causal effects of polyunsaturated fats, end quote, and it is important to temper this language. It is more appropriate to consider these findings as genetic associations. Here is why. Serum levels act as a proxy for the most short-term dietary intakes, which would themselves be influenced by actual dietary intakes in the real world. And the differences in effect estimates, although they were often similar directions of effect between Biobank and Cardiogram Plus cohorts, preclude a confident causal conclusion. Finally, a causal conclusion would require any such relationship to be demonstrated in different populations, while the present analysis is confined to white European genetic ancestry. This does not, however, mean that the findings are not a useful addition to the overall evidence. Let's consider how these findings for the main polyunsaturated fats of interest could be interpreted as it relates specifically to serum measurements. The first is that the lack of effect for serum DHA, a perfect null in both between the Biobank and the Cardiogram Plus analyses. DHA is low in any blood compartment and turnover is rapid, thus it may be difficult to detect associations for serum DHA. The EPA effect size was a small 4% in the Biobank analysis of myocardial infarction, while the Cardiogram Plus analysis of EPA showed lower 22% risk of coronary artery disease. But for myocardial infarction, although the point estimate was a 21% lower risk, the confidence intervals crossed 1.0 up to 1.17, and thus this finding is not reliable. The lack of effect of EPA on myocardial infarction in the Cardiogram Plus data differs to RCTs on this outcome, which are consistent in favor of omega-3 supplementation, both mixed EPA and DHA and EPA in isolation. The effect of CAD, however, is interesting given the evidence that EPA is preferentially incorporated into arterial plaques, improving their morphology and lowering inflammation. What of arachidonic acid? AA levels in the body are maintained endogenously at a relatively constant level. Given that the effect size was borderline non-existent, a 3% and 1% higher risk in the Biobank and the Cardiogram Plus analyses, respectively. Factoring in the relatively constant levels in the body in response to diet, this finding does not likely warrant much weight attached to it. Application to practice. Relating the findings of a Mendelian randomization study to actual real-life dietary intake is always a tad messy. Again, if we bear in mind that genetically higher levels of a fatty acid translate in interpretation to higher dietary intake, then nothing really much turns on this study. In sum, 1, omega-3 equals good. 2, omega-6 equals also good. The fact that there were associations for fatty acids like DPA and DGLA doesn't negate the fact and would require validation in future research. And in practical application, you don't really eat isolated fatty acids. For example, while oily fish would contain EPA and DHA, it would also contain other omega-3s. And while sunflower oil may contain linoleic acid, it would also contain other omega-6s. The argument over the omega-3 to omega-6 ratio is likely a reflection of low omega-3s. So ultimately aiming for sufficient alpha-linolenic acid, ALA, EPA, and DHA in the diet to retain sufficient fatty acid balance is ideal.